There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. The Radio Book Club. Members only.
You like that?
Yeah, I like him clearing his throat, yeah.
Yvette Judge is with us from the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. People had been giving us a little bit of grief, only about six people, to be fair, Yvette, on the text, saying we don't like that sweeper, we don't like the way it's worded. Is the new one better?
I quite like it, actually. I quite like that. Hello, you're not a member. Off you go. It's quite good.
I like that.
Me too. Yeah.
Hopefully you like it, guys. Right, shall we get into some book news first of all?
Okay.
Now, in book news today, we wanted to throw the question out. 4001, let us know. Also, you can use the free DubaiEye app. Did you used to keep a diary as a kid?
I did for about a week and a half. Usually when I went on holiday, I'd do it then at the end of the day, so I'd remember my holiday. But I wasn't a year-round diary merchant, no.
No, I wish I was, but I don't think I was encouraged enough to have a diary when I was a child. I imagine you had a diary constantly, Yvette.
I did. I love my diaries. And I remember I had one that was a five-year diary that had a lock.
5 years?
Yeah, 5 years. So,
only you and your mum and dad
brilliant.
Had keys.
Yeah.
It's not that diary of a wimpy
No. That was the point. My mum and dad did not have keys.
You didn't think they did. Who bought it for you? Was it them?
It was a gift from them. See?
Oh, yeah. Do you have one now?
No, I don't. But I do love notebooks. I do acquire notebooks, and having had a bit of an office clear out recently, I did have to fill a bag with redundant full notebooks. So I just love a notebook.
Can't
I
bring them round here and we can have a read. It would be great, wouldn't it, having a read
an
through
insight.
Yvette's notebooks.
Yeah, into the head of Yvette Judge. Maybe
awesome.
She writes notes about who could win word for the week and why.
Yeah, maybe.
I ask this because I was chatting to one of my friends who's got a little girl who must be about seven now, and she was telling me the other day that her little girl hates writing. Like, they don't really write much at school anymore, she said. They use a lot of technology. And she just hates sitting down to write anything. And I remember writing as a kid, and it was a challenge, and it was enjoyable. And I don't remember ever not liking writing.
No, that's quite sad.
Really sad.
After the weekend, when you went back to school, you quite often had to write about what you did at the weekend, which was the great opportunity to make up loads of lies about things that you really hadn't done, but really would have liked to.
Which now we have Facebook for, of course.
Exactly.
But are we still encouraging kids to keep a diary? And if we're not, then why are we not doing this?
Yeah, I think it's a great thing to do. And it does. It only needs to be a few lines. It doesn't need to be pages and pages every night. But I think actually the beauty of them is looking back when you were older, when you're an adult, and actually seeing, if you hold on to them, what did you write? What was important to you? So, you know, I remember 1969, man landed on the moon, I believe. And I've got my diary for that day, which was all about what I did. And then at the end, Owen, as a side, man landed on the moon.
I think it's kind of similar to postcards. I did more of that, writing postcards to my mum, especially when I was working on cruise ships and telling her, you know, the places that I was visiting. And I remember we did that campaign with all the school kids here, the postcards one, and it was really fascinating, wasn't it, some of the stuff that they wrote on them cards.
Yeah, I used to write a lot of stories about wanting to be a spaceman when I was a kid. I remember writing a lot about that. But I also remember at school handing in a story where I'd written one word on each page because it was meant to be a three-page story. And getting into serious
trouble. Very rebellious,
Always trying to break the rules, even from an early age. Yeah. But in the news this week, the benefits of your children keeping a diary. Some of the benefits you got from doing so as a kid. Let us know if this rings true for you. The National Literacy Trust has been working with the award-winning children's author, Jacqueline Wilson, who was at the Lit Fest this year, on their latest campaign to get more children writing. And in 2015, the report that focused on children and young people's diaries, they found that diary writing's got a positive impact on children's attainment at school, as well as boosting their motivation to write. So by writing, it makes you want to write more. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the same with any writing. And writers will tell you the only way to actually get your book done is to just write, even if you don't use what you've written. The actual act of writing sort of unlocks bits of your brain.
Have you not got to be in the mood, though?
No, I don't think. And I think, actually, I think part of it with the diary writing for children is the habit thing. And I always used to do it before I went to sleep.
Right.
And it was secret. And I think there's also that aspect is quite nice to bring out. I think maybe children need to know that nobody's going to read their diary. A diary, for me, is a place where you share your private thoughts,
it's
hence having the lock.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have been mortified if anybody had read it. If my daughter kept a diary, obviously I would have read it, so I'm sure my mother did.
I mean, it's a good job Steph didn't write a diary, isn't it? Can you imagine having a read of that?
Aye, aye. The report, based on data collected from over 3,000 8 to 11-year-olds, it showed that pupils who keep a diary are almost twice as likely to write above the expected level for their age compared to children who don't. And we had an artist on the show recently, didn't we? Do you remember?
Yeah.
It was Robbie Walters. Told us that the best advice he'd ever been given as an artist by a friend was, if you want to be good at something, to do a tiny bit every day. Every single day.
Yeah, definitely.
Great advice.
And diary writing for children is a brilliant way of doing that. So I agree with that report. I think it's a good one.
So good on Jacqueline Wilson. She's blazed the trail of diary writing, including diary entries in her children's fiction series, Tracy Beaker, of course. So it's really popular amongst young girls. So she's getting young girls to write. What can we do to get little boys to write? Is keeping a diary more of a little girl thing to do? Or?
Do you know what? I think it is more of a girl thing
to do. Why is that?
I think girls always like to put things, get their thoughts together and put them down. Boys just do, don't they? They don't overthink it.
Were we just told that that's what girls
Maybe that's it.
You'd have to take the footballs and the fishing rods away, I think.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, actually. How do you get boys to write?
All right, let us know what you think on that. 4001, are you encouraging your children to write a diary? If you were grown up, are you still writing a diary? I bet there's not many people who are.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Which is kind of sad.
Yeah, it is sad. I might go back to it.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, we've got to get into word for the week, I guess.
Yeah.
Misanthropic, ignominy, admonish, rapacious, incomprehensibilities. Word for the week.
It's going to be a quick battle this week. I'm just going to win it quickly.
Right, okay.
That's the word.
Swift.
What was it, Vet?
The word was regale.
Quite an easy one,
yeah,
I found.
Yeah, I think so. Good.
Which is why I used it well before today.
Okay, and this is how it sounded.
If you've just tuned in to the show, then you missed Mark regaling us of stories of when he used to be, if I remember this rightly, in a band with Elvis Costello's dad.
Not quite in a band. I was actually a resident musician at a place called the Rover's Return in Blackburn. All right, go on, what do you think?
Yeah, that's quite good. I was more intrigued by the story, but no, the use of regale was very good.
I'll tell you the story after the show. This is Marky. We're going to be regaling you with lots of stories of design from all around the world this afternoon. Now, tickets, if you want to come down, 210 dirhams.
Sounds like that was today, Mark.
It does sound like
less than an hour ago.
It's been a busy week.
Oh, I can't even remember using mine. It was yonks ago.
Go on, then. Who's the winner?
I'm going to give it to Steph.
I thought you might.
Thank you. So, quickly,
we need a new word.
Okay. So, I love this word. It's obstreperous. It's a word my sister used to use about me, and I never knew what it meant. And then I found out, and I wasn't very pleased. So the word stroppy actually comes from obstreperous.
Does it really?
So, yeah, if you're obstreperous, you are difficult, you're awkward.
Yeah.
That'll be easy for me to use.
A lot easier for me working with you. Yeah.
So obstreperous.
Stroppy stuff.
Good word, right, yeah.
Take that forward. We will have another word for you next week, but that's your challenge this week, to use obstreperous in as many places as you can. We're going to be looking at books proper in just a second, starting with one for the kids. It's going to get your kids interested in science in a really fun way. Author Christopher Edge will do for your children what Brian Cox has done for us.
The Radio Book Club. Members only.
And we're going to get into some books proper. We're going to start with a book, If Your Child is Travelling Off into the Land of Nod. Although, this is the kind of book, I think, as a child, that would have kept me awake, thinking.
I think so. And also, because they wouldn't want to put it down, I've got a lot of books this week that I found hard to put down. So I have got The Infinite Lives of Maisie Day by Christopher Edge. Christopher Edge came to the festival a couple of years ago, and he's written quite a lot of books for children now, but he started writing these very sciencey books in story format, and I know I would have absolutely loved this when I was a child, and I quite love it now. So there's a little girl, she wakes up, it's her 10th birthday, her name's Maisie, she trundles downstairs, and it's all weird, there's nobody there. And then chapter 2, there's a little girl named Maisie, she wakes up, she trundles downstairs, it's her 10th birthday, and her parents are there, and she opens her cards, and she has a cake. So it's all about parallel universes, which one of his other books is also touches on quantum physics, which I knew nothing about.
I don't even understand.
No, and I have to say, the Albie Bright one, which was the first one of his, The Many Worlds of Albie Bright, it's the same sort of thing, but I think there's so many children out there who would love this. We talked about, boys and girls, and some write, maybe girls write more than boys, maybe that's because they're encouraged to, but this book for me is one that boys and girls will absolutely love.
So is it adventure mystery?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a sciencey adventure mystery.
All right, here's Christopher Edge talking about why people love a mystery so much.
I think it's really that sense that we can put ourselves in elements of danger. So it can be these gruesome climbs that we can be leading of firsthand as if we were just like there next to it. And we can put ourselves almost in the shoes of the detective and try and almost beat the author and work out who's behind these mysteries before they've actually given away all the clues. So I think it's something that appeals to our competitive sense of the reader, someone who can try and discover these things before the detective does.
You're very competitive, Steph.
I am, and you know, sometimes I'm not afraid to admit this. If we are discussing a subject, there are websites out there that make subjects really easy for kids to understand, and okay. I have been known to go on these websites. Is this a book that I would maybe enjoy learning about parallel universes
yeah,
from?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, she's just a science geeky girl in the nicest possible way, and what she wants for her birthday is the stuff to build a nuclear reactor, as you do. So she's got a lot going for a strong female character, the science stuff. I think this is just such a good book, such a good read.
I love this. Would you need to be about 10 to
get
it?
Yeah, I reckon, yeah. I think it might say 8 plus on the back. I think I would stick with 10 on this. The Infinite Lives of Maisie Day by Christopher Edge.
It's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good start. Where are we going next?
We go into another book that kept me up all night, actually.
All night?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's one that I think would be a good one to read on the metro when you're travelling home, when you need something to keep you
entertained. I don't use the metro. Never have.
No, probably a good move, actually.
You won't be using it again.
I don't know if we can talk about this, but I got on the metro earlier on today. I was feeling so proud of myself. Rode my bike to the metro, locked it up, right. Got on there. And I'd bought an orange juice downstairs at the metro on the way in. I thought I'll drink that when I get off at the trade centre as I'm walking to the fair. Anyway, dropped it by accident.
On the metro?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On the train.
Spilt it over a lot of passengers.
Not over a lot of passengers, just on the floor. But it was a proper accident and I wasn't having it on the metro. And now I'm really paranoid. I did get off at the next stop, which was not my stop, and go and tell someone what had happened. But by then it had gone.
Yeah. It's funny, I had a call earlier on from the RTA saying, do you know Steph?
I'm really worried Bergen. About it. It was an accident anyway, if anyone's listening.
Well. Well, when you've put your orange juice down on the metro and you need a book.
Yeah, this is the one to go for.
When you're avoiding the puddles, this is the one to go for. And it's called Let Me Lie, and it's by Claire McIntosh. And this, at the moment, I think is number one on the bestseller list in one of the newspapers. Yeah, so this is her third book. She's a really interesting character herself, the author. She was a policewoman. Yeah. So she's got
stories.
I know, she's got all the background, so you have to assume that what she's writing when she gets onto the police stuff is accurate. But she does psychological thrillers and
I know about her?
Absolutely hooked. You should do. I think you would like her books.
So what's the plot of this one?
So there are a lot of books now that start with a bit of a prologue, or they've got two voices or something like that. So that's a bit of a trend. But this one starts with someone talking about how she died and how death doesn't suit her. And you're not quite sure where it's going. So that's like the first couple of pages. And you're aware that, you know, that there's a child involved. And then you are into another part of the book. So it's sort of differentiated. Some's written in italics, some's written in a different font style. And we get on to the story of Anna, who's got a little baby called Ella. And you gradually learn more about Anna and what happened to her parents.
Yeah.
Who she thinks have committed suicide.
Yeah.
...
Well, from an ex-police woman, here's Claire talking about the fact that she actually quite enjoyed writing and filling out reports when she was a constable.
I think I was one of the few of my colleagues that actually quite enjoyed putting a file together and doing paperwork. I always quite liked writing statements and telling stories. I think, you know, I write stories now, and I felt I spent quite a lot of time in the police telling victims' stories and witnesses' stories.
Yeah, so it all started from when she was, part of the bill.
Yeah, perfectly placed to write stories.
So are we reading this on the way home on the metro? Yeah. Because then we're not alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Not scared.
You need people around with you.
Yeah.
But I'm off to London Book Fair fairly soon, and she's one of the authors that I'm going to be meeting, so I might have a bit of a fangirl moment there.
Fantastic. Yeah. Don't be alone with her.
No.
Very scary stuff.
Don't get arrested.
Just remind us the name of that book.
The book is called Let Me Lie, and it's by Claire McIntosh.
All right, we've got loads more books coming back with them. Keep your text messages coming in. Just had a great one. We'll read it when we come back from Giselle about diaries and whether you still write a diary as an adult or if you've got children, if you're encouraging them to write diaries. It's really good for them, you know.
The Radio Book Club. Members only.
Hey, Yvette, you know we're talking about writing diaries and how Jacqueline Wilson is encouraging kids to write diaries again. We had a text in from someone called Giselle, a long one, got to read it to you. Put a lot of effort into typing this on the phone. Enjoyed listening to you en route to the DIFC. I still write in my diary. I'm in my late 40s. My mum encouraged me from an early age, and I'm very glad that she did. I don't manage to write every day, so I choose a diary that's got a day per page, which means you can always go to whichever page you want. The day itself, or you can catch up on a day that's passed by. I dip into old diaries, and I enjoy reading about things that my young children were doing or saying. It's great to pick out a year and a day and say, what were you doing on this day in 2012, for example? I hope to encourage my children to write a diary when they're a bit older. Maybe for boys, you could tell them to write as a superhero or Lego character to recount their day.
Brilliant.
We'll miss your show when we leave Dubai in 2 weeks' time. We're losing another one.
Oh, come on, Giselle.
No, she doesn't have to stop listening.
No,
listen online.
Absolutely.
Come on, Giselle, get a grip.
Wherever you're going, dubaii1038.com, you can find us and still be part of the Radio Book Club.
There's no escape.
You're escaping though, aren't you?
Maybe. But I'll still listen, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah, especially to the word for the week.
Always.
Yes.
Yep.
Getting into our next travel book then, and I think we're going to go with a book for anyone who is travelling into the kitchen to make some tea tonight.
Yeah, this is definitely where you're going to wander this evening. I'd quite like to be Miss Marple if I could be another person, but the other person I'd quite like to be when I'm a bit older, obviously, is Mary Berry.
Really?
I just think she looks great. I can see you don't, Steph.
You know Through the Keyhole? That television show where they go through someone's house and they wander around, and you have to guess who it is as they're going around the house. They did Mary Berry once. Not what I expected.
Not the house.
Doilies everywhere.
Oh, no, I can see that, absolutely. Everywhere. But she dresses very elegantly. Anyway, her book's very nice. Classic is the simple title.
I just imagine everything would be covered nice in sugar.
And sort of chintzy flowery patterns.
And old cherries.
Yeah.
That have been in the cupboard.
Old ones.
Oh, no. Her cupboards, I think her cupboards will be pristine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think she'd have all the tins facing outwards in height order.
Yeah, I think you need to give her a break.
I don't think she needs a break. She's got enough money from...
She's on telly a lot, isn't she?
She certainly is. I think she's probably doing quite nicely and in able to buy as many twin sets and cardigans as she wants.
Yeah. Let's have a listen into one of her shows.
Much as I adore trying out new and exciting recipes with the family, there are some everyday classics I return to time and time again.
I've always loved traditional rice pudding. I had it as a child, I made it for my own children, and now I make it for the grandchildren. It's amazing you can make such a delicious pudding out of such easy ingredients.
I've got a pint and a half of full cream milk, which I just want to heat.
You can do it from cold milk, but it gets going quicker if you use hot.
A rice pudding, anybody?
Oh, yes, please. But only if it's got the skin on top.
Oh, I hate that. At school,
baked in the oven.
I like the skin on top as well.
Love the skin
really
on top.
I love that. But do you know what? If there's one recipe that I could say, if you would open a Mary Berry book, it would be rice pudding. Yeah. That's not surprising.
No, not really. And it's a classic book. But you've also got ginger and rhubarb cheesecake. What else have you got?
Just
tartan. No. Slow roast duck with cherry sauce, pot roast pheasant, and there are definitely quite a lot of veggie ones in there for you as well. I was having a look at the starters and some very, very nice things that I think you'd like. Lentil and sweet potato soup, I'm a big soup fan.
She just bores me.
Yeah, she uses rhubarb. Can we get rhubarb out of you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Oh. There's a rhubarb plantation in Dubai, is there?
Somewhere.
So it's not going to be big twists on anything, it's going to be classics.
No, it is the classics. And
can I guess what it's called?
Go on.
Is it called My Kitchen with Mary Berry?
No.
Is it called Cooking Classy with Mary Berry?
No.
Is it called What's Just Next to Me Doily with Mary Berry?
It's called Classic.
Oh!
Well, you got close, Steph, didn't you? Just too many words.
Amazing.
A very short title, classic by Mary Berry.
Okay, well, keep that one in your kitchen. Okay. It'll be worth more in the future. Yeah. Moving on to a travel book.
Yeah, now for something completely different. And I hesitated over whether to do this one because it's quite a strange book, but I became quite obsessed by reading it. And it is called, all in one, there's no spaces between these words, Rising Tide, Falling Star. And it's by a writer called Philip Hall. And he's written a series of books that are all about water. And you see, I know, and I can see the look on your faces. It's all a bit weird.
Yeah, she doesn't get it. Steph doesn't get
she
it.
She doesn't get it. Do you get it?
Yeah, I get it. I was online on YouTube looking at Mr. What's he called again? Philip.
Mr. Philip. Yeah.
And his underwater exploits.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's fascinating.
He's fascinating, and the book is just, it's really poetic and literary, and it's all about the sea and all sorts of things. So it is a travel book.
Come on, Philip, then. Tell us all about man's relationship with the oceans.
My name's Philip Hall. I'm a writer. I particularly write about the sea. I think, you know, our relationship between human and natural history is really embodied by the sea. I mean, you have this extraordinary element which sustains us, you know, provides half the air we breathe, most of the food we eat, conducts all the commerce of modern life, and yet we sort of physically turn our backs on it, really. Partly because we know what we've done to it and its animals and its actual, the element of the ocean has been so compromised by the coming of the Anthropocene.
Yeah, I mean, it's at this time with all the talk about plastic and everything, I mean, it's a good book to be reading, I think.
That's quite sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
made
very
me feel
sad.
Quite sad.
Yeah, I mean, there's these like mountains of garbage.
I know, the more pictures that appear, yeah. It's truly awful. So I think this is a very nice way of reconnecting with nature, with water, and with the sea in particular.
Where's it going to inspire us to travel to, do you think?
Anywhere by the seaside. I actually sat by the sea having my lunch the other day, and it is so relaxing, isn't it? There's something about the whoosh.
Oh,
the
I do
waves.
Like to be beside
yeah.
the seaside.
I've
Blackpool.
Got my little hanky on my
Blackpool
head.
Blackpool Tower. Yeah, you should see the ocean there.
Is that a travel tip from Mark Lloyd?
Yeah, go and dip your foot, and it'll only be your foot, in the ocean of Blackpool.
It is freezing the ocean in the UK.
Yeah, so I was thinking more Maldives, somewhere like that, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Okay, so that's our travel book. It's called Rising Tide, Falling Star.
Yeah.
By Mr. Hall.
By Mr. Hall, Philip Hall. Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. We are going to come back with some more books for you.
The Radio Book Club. Members only.
I think when that happens in the future, we should all join in with the cough. Can we have a trial run?
Yeah, okay.
The Radio Book Club. Members only.
Lovely. Now, you know, we're talking about writing in a diary and why kids aren't doing it anymore. Mm-hmm. Shruti, who used to work on this show, Stolen by the Agenda, we're over it, it's fine, not bitter. She says that she stopped writing in her diary when she caught her mum snooping in it.
You see, that is the danger. That's why you need the locking diary.
I wonder what was in the diary and what mum found out.
I wonder.
Yeah.
Now then, books. We are looking at books for all different kinds of travelling today. And we have a book now for when you are actually travelling to get stuck into.
Absolutely. And this will make your journey, whether it's on a plane or whatever, this will make your journey go so fast.
Yeah.
Because this one kept me up all night again. That's two this week. It's been quite a sleepless week. The Music Shop by Rachel Joyce, which
it's
I came
a Mark
across.
Book.
Yeah, it is a Mark book. Came across it on a bestseller list.
I think I'd devour this in an hour.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely. It might need
devour
a bit longer.
In an hour. That's a new segment.
Yeah, it's the
That's
devour
quite cool,
hour.
I like that.
The devour hour.
So, in your hour to devour this, you would find Frank, and Frank runs a music shop, but he only sells vinyl. Which is what made me think of Mark.
Now we're talking.
He does not have CDs. He does not have cassette tapes because it's set in the 80s. So it's at the advent of CDs, really. And he insists on only having vinyl. And his shop is in a parade of shops that's quite run down. We're not sure what town it's in, but we've all been off those high streets where you've got a few little back street shops. and Frank's Record Shop is one of those. And there's Maud the Tattooist, who's next door, and there's Father Anthony, who runs a strange shop. There's the Undertaker.
It's for me. I've got a few tattoos. Oh, this the bakers. Is my book.
It's, absolutely. And what Frank does is when people go into the shop, and maybe they say they don't like music, maybe they're looking sad, he can tell what music is going to make them feel better.
We all can do that. Lionel Richie. Every time.
I'm not really sure whether Lionel Richie's in here, actually.
He must be in
there. He'll be dancing on the ceiling somewhere, for sure.
But what it does do, it comes with a playlist.
The book?
Yeah.
Oh, the really? Last book that did this was Steve Coogan's book. That came with a playlist, and there'd be a little number, and you'd go to the back of the book, and it would say, put this song on now. Oh, is that how this works?
No, this has got the Spotify play. So, literally, there's a link at the front of the book, which works when you're reading on your iPad, as I was, and you've got all the songs, so and you can just see what an eclectic mix of things he prescribes. So we've got Oh No Not My Baby, but you know, Aretha Franklin. We've got a bit of Bach, we've got a bit of David Bowie, Starman, Chopin, Shalimar, Night to Remember.
Ooh, I'm gonna make it a night to remember.
Yeah. So those are the sort of things that he prescribes to people, and it's really about how his life, somebody needs to prescribe something for Frank. And that really is the story of how he goes on with his shop.
How do we feel about multimedia when reading? Like, do we want to be stopping reading to put on a song?
I didn't do that. I got to the end, and then I went back and downloaded the playlist.
I think that's what most people do, or do you think you're meant to read it in?
I would have thought so.
Surely you get more out of it if you listened when you were meant to listen.
Maybe, actually. Because the ones you know, you have in your head, though. So, once I got to Shalimar, I couldn't actually get that out of my head. Yeah,
I'd have kept playing that one over and over and over. Never got away from it. Let's listen to Rachel Joyce, who's the author of this one. And she talks about what kind of a story she actually wanted to write with this book.
I just wanted to write a story, especially in Britain at the moment. I wanted to write a story that kind of unified people, because it felt there was so much, whatever you felt last year about Brexit and part, there was so much kind of separation going on. So I really felt I wanted to write a story that really celebrated ordinary people standing together and despite their differences. That felt like something that really needed to be said. And then, of course, I really love music. So I wanted to write a book about music that is for people who love music, but also for people who don't. Because a lot of people think, oh, I don't know enough about music. But I'm not a musician. I can't play a thing. But I just thought, so let me write then about music in a way that kind of is universal. That's what I was trying to do.
It's a great idea for a book.
It really is. And I have to, it's an unusual book, and I absolutely loved it. And I may not have picked it up if I hadn't just spotted it on the bestseller list and had you in my mark. So there you go. You're my inspiration.
You can't get her over for next year's festival, can you? I'd love to have a chat with this one.
I'd absolutely love to. I have mentioned it to the team, actually. If you're listening, Rachel.
Yeah, tell Rachel she'll get an interview from Mark Lloyd. That'll tip it over. She'll come.
That could be a great session. You could get in a record player and...
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I could see the session. I need to sell it more to the team and then actually see if she'd actually like to come, but I think she'd be absolutely brilliant and have the music go.
So that's Rachel Joyce, The Music Shop, and that is a book that we are suggesting for when you're travelling, because you'll just love it.
You will. And get the headphones on, listen to the music. It's brilliant.
Speaking of getting the headphones on, we are going to leave you with a podcast that you found for us. What have you gone for?
I've got Work Life with Adam Grant.
What's that about?
So basically, he's an organisational psychologist, and he looks at how workplaces function, how you're doing your job, how can you do it better, how can you work better with your team.
Oh,
yeah. I'm not putting any of it into practice if the Litfest team are listening.
You're swatting up.
Yeah. So, but it's a good one. So he interviews lots of people. For example, he interviews a woman who is an introvert, Susan Cain. She's written a book about being an introvert and how that's affected her, but how you can actually work with it and how it can be an influence for good. He looks at how your personality can influence your workplace and your job and how you can work with different personalities. He talks about this particular guy who was on a company, away day team building thing, company had just been taken over. Everybody had to wear a T-shirt with their personality type on, and the people who matched the CEO's personality were the ones who were going to be staying with the company.
You're joking.
Really?
That's amazing.
If Isabel's listening, just know.
I do find it amazing that you can put loads of people together who have got all different kinds of personalities and expect them all to get on and all to work towards the greater good. I think radio is one of the worst, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be, can't it? You know, because there's a lot of big personalities.
Egos.
There's a lot of, I was trying to avoid that word, but you came in. Massive egos, you know, Steph being a great example of
that. I don't think I've got a big ego.
Oh, you have.
I haven't.
You've got a huge ego.
I have not.
You have?
Nah, give me an example of when you've seen my ego.
I don't know.
Can't think of any.
Just give me a moment.
I can give you an example of when I've seen your ego.
I haven't got an ego.
Mark will arrange photo shoots and journalists to come in to talk about the show, but only focusing on him.
No.
So they'll come in and he'll say, oh, guys, I've got a photographer coming in. You don't need to do anything. They're just going to be photographing me.
It did happen once.
Putting
all these lights up and they were all like shining on me while Steph is doing the show in darkness.
So, yeah, do you think if I listened to this, it would help with work life?
I don't know.
Make it a bit better?
Maybe she'll give it a go.
Or should Mark be listening to it?
I think it's
entire ARN listening.
All right, let's have a listen to Adam Grant then. One of his podcast episodes, Work Life.
I can't really ever remember a time when I didn't have some sort of ball in my hand.
This is Shane Battier. Growing up, he was a standout athlete.
My first love growing up was baseball. I thought I was going to be a major league pitcher. And a funny thing happened. When I was in sixth grade, I was 6 feet tall. And in seventh grade, I was 6'4". And in eighth grade, I was 6'8". So that's when I switched and became a basketball guy first.
Shane was the National Basketball Player of the Year in high school and again in college. He was so good that he was drafted into the NBA. But when he got to the pros, he quickly discovered that it was a whole new league. Everyone around him was way more talented. At that level, he didn't have the raw physical ability to be a star. He heard coaches and players dismissing him.
And people looked at my limitations and said, well, Battier's not athletic, and he doesn't run pick and roll, and he can't really dribble.
We've all been in that position, where our teammates have more talent than we do. But Shane found a way to overcome it. He became a key contributor to two NBA championship teams. And I want to know how that happens.
Yeah.
I'm cooked. I want to know more.
Cooked.
Hooked.
Oh, I thought you said cooked.
It's very good. I like it already.
Yeah, he's got quite a nice approach. I do like his style of interview.
So that's Work Life, it's called. New podcast for you to check out. Yeah. See what you think of it. I think you could benefit from that.
Yeah, you think so? All right.
You've always been a good dribbler.
I'll give it a go.
Yvette, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.